Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Beitzah Chav Zayin. We are continuing the discussion which we began yesterday regarding a Bechor on Yom Tov. A Bechor nowadays can only be eaten if you discover a mum kavua, a permanent mum present on that Bechor. The question was, may we examine a Bechor on Yom Tov? Rabbi Yehuda says, no problem. Rabbi Shimon says, you may not, because once the Chachamim were mesaken that there is an Isser to be Sheikhet a Bechor without prior examination by an expert, by a Mumcha, by a Chacham, who will determine and confirm that this indeed is a Mum Kavua. So once that Isser takes effect, you have to be Mater that Isser. Now, in contrast to presenting your local Rav with a Shiloh, which is certainly Mutar on Yom Tov, because in that case, you know, he's just revealing pre-existing information. So that's Mutar. Whereas when it comes to Imater Bechor, Rashi says it's like Don Es Hadin, like conducting a court case. Like doing a Din Torah on Yom Tov, which is also for may lead to actually recording the verdict issued at that Din Torah. Therefore, says Rabbi Shimon, you may not present the Bechor to a Mumcha on Yom Tov for examination. So we had a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda, who says it's okay. Rabbi Shimon says, you may not do that on Yom Tov. Says the Gemara three lines from the top. Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, this is Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, the one who edited the Mishnayos. So he had some Kayhanim in his home on Yom Tov, and they can eat a Bechor, provided that it has a mum kavu, which allows shechita. Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya havale yahu bochro, he had a bechor. He figured, look, there's a mum there. Let me go ahead and get a confirmation from a chacham to allow shechita. Shadre lekameder ami. He sent it to Rabbi Ami on Yom Tov. Sabed lemechzai. He didn't want to take a look at the bechor in accordance with shechita's Rabbi Shimon. You may not issue a heter on a bechor on Yom Tov. Amalei Rabbi Zrika, v'itema, some say Rabbi Yirmiyah challenged Rav Ami. What's the problem? When we have a machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, who do we follow? Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. In this case, it's muta to see the bechor. So he challenged Rav Ami's chumra. In any case, he didn't want to see the bechor, and Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya had to try another venue. So what did he do? Hador Shadrei. He sent his Bechor to Rabbi Yitzchak Navcha to take a look at it. Once again, Savard Loi Mechzayi, he refused to take a look at the Bechor on Yom Tov. Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyah V'Tema, some say it was Rabbi Zrika. What's the problem? Ev Machlok is between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? The Gemara in Avron says, we follow Rabbi Yehuda, Alach Rabbi Yehuda. Amalei Rabbi Abba. So Rabbi Abba turns to this Chacham who challenged, was either Rabbi Zrika or Rabbi Yirmiyah. He says, why are you giving him a hard time, so to speak? My time, Malaysia, for Kasinu, the Rabbanu, Lamevit, Uvda, Kurab Shimon, why didn't you allow the Chachamim to follow through in accordance with Jesus, Rabbi Shimon? They wanted to be Machmer. Why are you challenging? Why are you giving them a hard time? My time left Kishiv Kasinu, why didn't you allow the Rabbanan, these Chachamim, Lemevid Uvda, to follow through corruption? Amar Lay, so he responded, V'at Mabiyotcha, what do you have in your hands? Meaning, why are you backing Rabbi Shimon in this case? Generally, we follow Rabbi Yehuda. Why are you leaning towards Rabbi Shimon? Do you have any Kabbalah, any tradition that this is an exception? That in this case we follow Rabbi Shimon, that it's Aser. Amar Leisi responded, yes, indeed. Hachi Amar Rabbi Zera. Listen to Rabbi Zera. Halacha Rabbi Shimon. In this case we make exception to the rule. Although generally, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, we follow Rabbi Yehuda. In this case, Halacha Rabbi Shimon. We will not take a look at a Bechor and Yom Tov. Amar Mandhu. Now there was a certain fellow, unidentified. This fellow who was listening in to the conversation, and he heard that Rabbi Zera paskin like Rabbi Shimon. So Amar Mandu, this fellow declared, he announced, Iski, I wish I could be Zoicha va'esak lahosam, and go up to Eretz Yisrael, va'agmara l'shmata, and go actually learn that statement, that halacha, that we follow Rav Shimon, mipumi demara, from the mouth of the master, meaning, I want to hear it from the source, from Rav Zera himself, to make sure that this indeed is a true statement. What happened? Kisol klahasam. When he went up to Eretz Yisrael, he arrived. Ashkel Rav Zera. He greets Rav Zera. And he asks him, Amarle, Amar mar halach Rav Shimon? Is that true? That you said halach Rav Shimon? Who disallows examination of a Bechor and Yom Tov? Is that true? That's how they're quoting you in Bavel. Did you really say it? Amarle, Rav Zera responds, listen to this, Loi, actually not. It's a good thing he checked. He says, no, I didn't say that. All I said was as follows. Ana mistavra amri. I just said, you know, it's probable. It makes sense that we followed Rav Shimon, but it's not like I heard from anybody, from any Rebbe, that we establish the halacha k'Rav Shimon. Why was I leaning towards Rav Shimon? I'll explain to you why. Midiktan ibimas nisen. Because we have a lashon in our Mishnah, back in the Chavav and Aleph, which says, Rav Shimon, kol shein mumay nikar b'idyoim ein zemen amuchan. Unless the mum was examined before Yom Tov, you can't be mata the animal. Uktani lo b'braisa b'loshon chacham. Then we have the very same halacha quoted in a braisa and attributed to chachamim. The fact that the braisa takes the halacha and now attributes it to the chachamim, that's an indication of the fact that the braisa confirms that indeed is the halacha l'maisa, at the accepted opinion. Shmamina, we derive from this, mistavra kavasei, that that's the way to go. Okay? So it's not like I heard definitively from any Rebbe that we follow Rav Shimon in this case. It's just my own conclusion based on a diuk in a braisa. Okay, in any case, what's the conclusion? Halacha l'maisa. Regarding checking a Bukhar and Yom Tov. We have several shittas. We have a shaila, how to pask it. My havi Allah, what's the conclusion? Amar Rav Yosef, listen to this. Toshma, I have a raya. Detalya ba'ashli ravravi. This iser of checking Ibchor and Yom Tov is attributed to Ashli ravravi, big Ashli. There are several pshatim. Some say Ashli are ropes. So it's dependent on large ropes, meaning there are great men who say that it's us. Another pshat is large trees. So in any case, this iser is authoritative. There are many great people who hold that it's us. Who are these great people? The Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, in the name of Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, in the name of Amar Rabbi Yosef ben Shaul, Amar Rebbe. So he's quoting Rebbe, who quotes Mishum Kehola Kadisha de Birushalayim. He's quoting the holy community of Yerushalayim, which is the previous Dur, before Rebbe. So Rebbe is quoting the previous Dur, who said as follows, Rabbi Shimon v'chaveirav. So they're referring to Rabbi Shimon and Manasseh and his colleagues, quoted them yesterday. Amru halacha k'Rav Meir. So the Kehal HaKadisha of Yerushalayim are saying that Rabbi Shimon and his friends have said the following. So they're quoting Rabbi Shimon. The halacha follows Rabbi Meir. And we meant to follow Rabbi Meir. Okay, we're going to get to that in a moment. But apparently it has something to do with not checking Ibchor and Yom Tov. Before we get to that, the Gemara stops us in its tracks. Amru. What do you mean the Kohol of Yerushalayim quote Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, who lived after them? That's not commonly done. The previous Dor won't quote the youngsters in their generations. Well, they said, Allah, that's not the way it works. It's usually the youngsters who quote the veterans. Amru, they said, Va'inuk shishim in etuva, the Kohol HaKadosh of Yerushalayim, who were a Dor before Rebbe, and Rebbe was the same Dor as Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, so they were way older than Rav Shimon ben Manasseh. It wouldn't make sense that they would quote Rav Shimon ben Manasseh. Ella, rather, what they said is as follows. They weren't quoting Rav Shimon, they were just saying, it's interesting to note that Reb Shimon ben Manasseh was actually younger, who says you can't check a Bechor in Yom Tov, is actually corresponding to an earlier Shita mentioned in the earlier Darius, which happens to be Reb Meir. So it was an interesting connection they made, a correlation. They weren't quoting the later Darius, they were just remarking Ela b'shita Reb Meir amru, that the halacha that Reb Shimon espouses, that you can't check a Bechor in Yom Tov, is actually in line with a previous Shita mentioned way earlier, that Shita Reb Meir, who would also seem to hold likewise. Okay, so we're getting somewhere. So we see that Reb Shimon, who doesn't allow checking a Bechor in Yom Tov, Reb Shimon Manasseh, who's in line with Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, who says you can't check a Bechor in Yom Tov, as we mentioned yesterday, is in correspondence with Reb Meir Shita, who seems to say the same thing. And therefore, let's just stop for a second. What does that have to do with halacha l'maisa? So Rashi explains, now you have two against one. If Reb Shimon and Reb Meir both hold you can't check a Bechor in Yom Tov, so it's two against Reb Yehuda, who says you can, two against one, the Rabbim prevail, and therefore the conclusion is you shouldn't check a Bechor in Yom Tov. Okay. But let's first figure out what they meant. Reb Shimon and Reb Meir go together. What do we find Reb Meir? And we're looking for the following concept, that examining a Bechor is not just a revelation of a previously known bit of information, just like a typical Psak Halacha that the Rav can issue on Yom Tov. Rather, it's generating an Isser, it's creating, it's fashioning a Heter, a new Heter, fashioning a Heter on the animal, and therefore that can't be done on Yom Tov. It rings of a Din Torah. That's what we're looking for. And we're going to find it in Reb Meir as well. That's not. Hashem does a bechor, va'achak heres mumay. So instead of examining the bechor before shechita, he did shechita and then he checked the mum that was present on the bechor. Rabbi Yehuda Mater, he says, look, you have a bechor, which that has a mum, which was already here before shechita. It's true, it's already after shechita, but you can assume the mum that you notice here was here before as well. Rav Meir Omer, no, the Bechor is Aser. Too late, you should have checked it before Shechita. Ha'yevel nishchat shelo yal pi mumcha Aser. Since he did the Shechita in an unauthorized manner, without first checking with an expert, it's Aser. What do we see from here? Alma Kasav Rav Meir, Re'yas Bechor, apparently according to Rav Meir, checking a Bechor carries weight, has value. It's generating the heter on the animal, in which case, if you did shechita beforehand, you're also. It was a obligation to do bedika before shechita. It's not just revealing information, it's a heter that has to be applied, has to be chal on the bechor. It's different than just checking the bechor from any possible hidden wounds, any treifas. That's just a question of discovering information. That can be done even after shechita. So Re'iyas Bechor, the examination of a Bechor, love Re'iyas Treifa. It's so different than examination for Treifa wounds. Re'iyas Bechor Mechaim, checking the Bechor has to take place during lifetime. Re'iyas Treifa Lachamis, Achashchita. Checking for Treifa certainly takes place after Shchita. Umina. And therefore we can derive from this to our topic, to the subject at hand, whether or not you can do Bedikas Bechor on Yom Tov. Re'iyas Treifa Filu B'Yom Tov. Although, for Treifa, you can check even on Yom Tov. It's just a question of figuring out the reality. But, Re'iyas Bechor Mer of Yom Tov, checking a Bechor only before Yom Tov, because on Yom Tov, that's called Hatoras Bechor, it's like making a Din Torah. So that was Rav Yosef's connection. We were looking for a conclusion on our Shaila. Rav Yosef says, I have two against one. I have Rav Shimon, who doesn't allow checking a Bechor on Yom Tov, and Rav Meir as well, who seems to hold likewise that Re'iyas Bechor is an event of significance. And that only takes place before Shechita, in our case, on Erev Yom Tov, as opposed to Yom Tov itself. Amalei Abaye, so Abaye, Talmud of Yosef, challenges him. Who says to connect the two things? Who says that Reb Meir agrees to this underlying principle promoted by Reb Shimon, that Re'iyas Bechor has great significance and can't be done on Yom Tov? Perhaps the reason why Reb Meir says that the animal that was shechted without Bedika is Asr is because of a different reason. It's a knas, perhaps a penalty applied to this fellow who did something wrong. He took a chance. He failed to examine before Shechita. That's all. Only Abaye Atu Hassan Beroyin Mumen Pligi. Who's to say that the discussion between Rabbi Yehuda and Meir regarding examination after Shechita is dependent on this concept of how important, how significant, how much weight does Bechor examination carry? No, Beknas a Pligi. It's a question of whether to apply a Knas. Perhaps all agree. Rias Bechor, just like Rias Treifa. It's a question of figuring out the reality, no more than that. And therefore it could be done on Yantif. This fellow transgressed. He took a chance. He did Shechita before checking his Bechor. Rabbi Meir says we apply a knas, and perhaps it only applies to the person who did something wrong, but his friend can eat the Bechor because he didn't transgress. So it's a limited iser, a knas to the person who did something wrong. Beknasapli, as we see, to Amar Rabba Bar Bachan Amar Biyachanan, it depends on the situation. Bedukin Shebaayin, what type of mum was discovered after Shechita? If there was some sort of eye condition or cataracts, which can change during Misa, the Shechita can actually exasperate that situation. So although it looks like a mum kavur, now it wasn't necessarily so during its lifetime. So in that case, Bedukin Shebaayin Kul Amalei Pligi De Aser, all agree that it's Aser because you never know if it was here before Shechita. Mishum De Mishtana, because it can change during death. Ki Pligi B'Mum Shebaguf. Discussion applies to a mum found in the guf. It's missing an arm, missing a leg. That certainly didn't happen now. And still, Rav Meir Savar, Gazrinan Mumin Shebaguf Atu Mumin Shebaayin. We make an iser, even in this case, on account of the other mum, which can be affected by Misa. This may lead to that, so everything is aser, but only to the person who did something wrong. Rabbi Yehuda Savar like Gazrinan, Rabbi does not hold it exer, and therefore it's mutter. So it's unrelated to our Shaila. Perhaps all agree examination of a Bechor is Mutar and Yantav. It's just revealing pre-existing information. It's not considered generating any Heter. It's Mutar and Yantav. Omar of Nachman bar Yitzchak mas nisan nami deka. I'll even prove to you from that Mishnah itself that Rav Meir is based on a Knas concept and no more. Diktani Rav Meir Omer. What does Rav Meir say? Did he say Rav Meir Oyser? Which would sound that the examination doesn't work because it's Achar Shechita and you can only examine Koidim Shechita. Right? What are we coming to preempt? The other Pshat, Rav Yosef's Pshat and Rav Meir, that checking a Bechor makes the Heter. And that can only happen before Shechita. Otherwise, it's an Isra Shechita. And therefore, if he did the Shechita before examining, the animal's Aser. That was Rav Yosef's approach and corresponds with the halacha that you can't do bedikas b'chor and yomtev. Says Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, the wording in the Mishnah indicate otherwise. Instead of Rav Meir saying Rav Meir Oyser, which will indicate as such that it's something wrong with the shechita, he doesn't say that. Rav Meir Oymer hoyel v'nishchat shalei alpi mumcha Aser, because this fellow did something wrong. Nobody asked him to do shechita prematurely. That's the problem. There's a knas. It's a personal issur. It's not because the bechor, the animal, is lacking heter. Otherwise, he would just say Rav Meir Oyser. He doesn't say that. He says, because he did something wrong. Why take chances? And therefore, we see it has something to do with the person. Shema mino knasuhu de kakani shema mino. It's pretty clear that it's based on a knas aspect and no more. Continues the Gemara. So we have a machlekes, check a Bechor and Yantav, don't check, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, and then there's a Shaila, a whole discussion as per the accepted opinion, we're not sure, how to paskin. Here we have another story, Ami, that was his name, Vardino, Rashi says a pshat, he came from Vardino. So he had a job, Chazei Buchra, he was the Bechor checker, the Bein Nasi Ahava, in the home of the Nasi. That was his occupation. He was a Bechor examiner. On Yom Tov, he was off duty. He would not examine Bechoris. Also, they came to complain to Rabbi Ami. Amar lehu, so Rabbi responds, why are you harassing him? Shapika avid lechazi. He's right on. He's right. You shouldn't be checking a bechor and yom tov. Ani, is that so? For Ami gufi chazi. We found that Rabbi himself would check a bechor and yom tov. No, says the Gemara. That's not so. Rabbi Ami ki chazi. May ask for a chazi. Truth is, Rabbi Ami would examine before yom tov. He would take a quick look at the mum register, but wouldn't issue a psak as of yet. Ubi yom tov, come the next day, yom tov, shiulukum ishayil, he would investigate further. He would question the owner, hey, chiyava uvda, tell me some background. Tell me the circumstance of this mum. And then when he was satisfied with what he heard, he would issue the psak din. But it was really examined before yom tov. He just needed to confirm the heter on yom tov. Therefore, that's mut. Says Rashi on the top line, why do you have to investigate? What's the point of asking? What was he asking? Sometimes he was busy erev yom tov. He didn't have enough time to fully investigate the matter. Once he took a quick peek at the mum, he would size it up and pretty much decide in his mind which way to go. We tell the fellow, you know what? Go and come back tomorrow. And when he comes back, he would then query him as to the circumstance which brought about this mum. How did it come about? Why? It says Rashi, Kayhana was suspected of generating a mum in their b'chur. It was a difficult proposition for the Kayhanim to raise animals. They belong in the Beis Medrash. They were given this animal, and they have to raise it until it gets a mum. So sometimes they would arrange, they would orchestrate a mum to the b'chur. This is learned in the Mishnah. If you have a mum which could have been generated manually, the Yisrael shepherds are trusted. However, because perhaps they're trying to be mounted the animal prematurely. And therefore, the Kohen has to prove that it was a naturally occurring mum. So in that case, Rabbi Ami wouldn't examine the mum on Yom Tov. That was done before Yom Tov, but due to lack of time, he would conclude the bureaucratic process on Yom Tov itself. Continues the Gemara. As we find in the following story, there was a story with this fellow. The icy bukhru came to Rava. He approached Rava with a bukhur, but it was close to Yom Tov Apanya. Towards evening, the Malayim Yitov of Erev Yom Tov. Yosef Rava, Rava was sitting in Kachayev Reisha, rinsing his head. He didn't have time to investigate till the end. But he took a quick peek. Dali Eini lifted his eyes, v'chazi l'mumi, took a quick peek at the mum, it registered. But he tells him, look, amalei zila idna v'sala machar, go and come back tomorrow. K'yosala machar, and his fellow returned. Amaras, Rava started asking him, heicha v'uvda, what exactly happened to cause this mum, this clipped lip? Amalei, so the owner responds, I'll tell you what happened. V'shadyin sa'ari b'chgisa, there was some barley lying on the other side, the hutza of this thorn fence. And the b'chur was on the other side. And he noticed the food. As he was lunging forth to reach the food, he inserted his head into the thorns. And the parati hutza, and the hutza, the thorn, the fence, split his lip. That's what happened. It wasn't something that I did. It happened by itself. Amalei Rava further asks him, Dilma ad garamsle, maybe you brought it about. You purposely put the barley on the other side to alleviate yourself of the burden of raising the bechor. Amalei is the only response, Loi, no, certainly not, I'm innocent. So we see that investigation is needed, and this indeed took place on Yom Tov itself. Umratema de grama asa, from where do we learn that even causing, bringing about in a roundabout manner would be us. The sani mum lo yehiya boy. So the drasha is mum lo yehiya boy. You can't bring about a mum. You can't generate a mum on a bukhar. Or on any other kachem for that matter. Ainli elish lo yehiya boy mum. Perhaps we learn not to make a mum. Don't manually make the mum. However, menayish lo yigrim lo yadiv achar. How do we know that even causing it by another means, by roundabout way, would be asher as well? For instance, shlo yavi batzuk, you shouldn't bring a glob of dough, a dvelo, a dried fig. V'yaniach le'al gabim ha'oizen and place it on the ear of the b'chur k'dei sh'yovah kelev yitlenos, that the hungry dog should come by and snatch it off and wound his ear. How do we know that that's also tamalayim kol mum? The added word koil includes this as well. Omar mum. First the pasuk says mum lo yahaya. And then it says v'omar kol mum. The added kol includes even being goyrim a mum, which is us. Okay, so we had the shaila regarding taking a look at a mum on yantav, machlokes, asur, mutter. But of course, to take a look at the mum before yantav and simply to investigate the background on yantav itself would be mutter. What are you trying to figure out? Whether this mum was manually applied, whether directly or even indirectly, which would be us. Continues the Mishnah. Behema shemesa. A behema which died on Yom Tov. Lo yuzi zenam imkayma. You can't budge it. It's muktzah. Umas. In fact, it was an incident. Vishalu es Rabbi Tarfon. Aleha. Somebody came to ask Rabbi Tarfon regarding this very shaila. A behema shemesa. And number two, v'ala chala shenitmas. On the chala portion of the dough which became tummy, which is now asa l'achila. It was Yom Tov. So he came to ask him, what are we meant to do with these items? He didn't know. V'nichnas beis hamedrash. He came to the beis hamedrash. V'shal, and he asked further. V'amr loy, and he got the following response: loy yezizem imkaimam. They can't be moved at all. Now, when it comes to behemah shemesa, I understand it's useless. What about the chala shenitmes? We know that you can burn truma which became tameh. And likewise, chalosh became tameh. You can burn it even on Yom Tov. So why is it muktzah? Let him use it for fuel. Says Rashi, off to the left. Masnis, chalosh nitmas. Eina ru'i l'koyin ayayim. It's totally useless, as per the koyin, on Yom Tov. Do ba'achil asur, lo'ilam. You can never eat it. Or ba'asaka. What about using it as fuel, or l'sita l'kaboy, or to feed your dog? Be Yom Tov also, you can't do it on Yom Tov. Why? What's wrong with feeding dough to a dog on Yom Tov? Says Rashi, Echidush. De'ein mevaren kachem tmeim in oilam be Yom Tov. What is allowed to? Get rid of kachem tmeim on Yom Tov. Afilo ade achilas beim, even by means of an animal. The Kaimelon, as we learned in the Gemara Shabbos, she'in soifren kachem be Yom Tov. One may not burn karbanos on Yom Tov. Don't think it's dafka referring to burning. Because it's unnecessary melacha, which wouldn't apply to feeding an animal. No, that's not true. That's not the reason. Because of melacha. I'll prove to you, says Rashi. We know that, likewise, you can't burn truma tmei on Yom Tov. And even though it's havar letzorechi, it's perfectly useful. You can have benefit from burning truma tmei on Yom Tov. Look, it's b'ner b'yom tov tzerech achili u'materes. You can light a candle on Yom Tov. Afilu hachi, even so, b'shem estrefa loy. We know you can't burn shem estrefa. It was called as such because it's intended, slated for burning. So you can't burn this truma. Vuhu shem and truma shenitmes. Why? D'gzeres ha'kosavi. Shem kachem tmei mezbarim b'yom tov. You can't burn kachem or truma on Yom Tov. Why? D'rachmona achshevo lavarosin. The Torah attributes value to this procedure, to burning, to getting rid of kachem or truma tmei on Yom Tov. D'chsiv ba'eshi sarf. In fact, the Torah gives chashivas to this process of burning kachem or truma, which becomes tamei. Therefore, on Yom Tov, you can't do this. Hilkach malachi. It has significance. You're creating, you're doing, you're accomplishing something significant. It's like a malacha. And therefore, it says Rashi, even feeding the chalosh nitmes to a dog is asr as well, because that's being mevayer. This chalot tmeya, which is like a malacha. Tosfos brings down Rashi, disagrees. He says, it's not a malacha. What do you mean? A new kind of malacha? Feeding an animal, why is that a malacha? He says, the isser of burning truma tmeya on Yom Tov, and likewise chalot tmeya, because it might lead to burning kachim, which is certainly a problem because it's not benefiting the person. You can't have a no while you burn kachem. So one thing might lead to the next. And therefore, you shouldn't do any of these. So you can't burn the truma tmeya, and you can't burn the challah tmeya, nor feed it to the animal, because it might lead to the next, which will actually lead to burning kachim, which is certainly awesome. Continues the Gemara. So the Mishnah cited two examples, behema shemesa and challah shenitmes. Let's focus on the first one. What's wrong with a behema shemesa? It's useless? No, it's not. Feed it to the caliph. Now, although it wasn't really made for this purpose, it died on yant of itself. Who cares? According to Reb Shimon, there's no concern of mukta in this case. Remember, Reb Shimon holds even something unprepared is not mukta, as long as it has function, it has use, it provides hanah. Says more lema tanan stamed like Reb Shimon. Shall we say that the stam mishnah, the anonymous mishnah, which considers behemah shemesa to be mukta, is not following Reb Shimon? It's not Reb Shimon Omer. Number one, you can chop up melons, pumpkins to feed an animal. It's no concern of tircha. This is on Shabbos. Ves hanavelot ne'aklavim. You have a nevel on Shabbos. Chop it up. Feed the dogs. As long as you have hanah from it, it has function, it has use. It's not mukts. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, that's not the case. Depends when this happened. Im lo yehoyse nevel erev Shabbos, unless it was already in an nevelah state coming into Shabbos, Asura. You know why? Because coming into Shabbos, it wasn't muzman for this, it wasn't muchan for this. It was a live animal. So now it acquires this newfound capacity of being fed to a kelev that's unprepared for this purpose. It's mukts. Our Mishnah seems to be found in Rabbi Yehuda. Says no, I feel the tamer of Shimon. You don't have to say that. A Mishnah can be found in Reb Shimon as well. So why is it mukts? Moide Reb Shimon balachayim shemesu shasrun. Even Reb Shimon, who generally does not broaden the concept of mukts to include anything unprepared, will agree in the case of a balachay, a creature, a living being. That's not like your typical chayfetz, like your inanimate object. A balachay is off limits. That's also considered, and that is considered unprepared, even according to Reb Shimon. So although you have a nevela on your hands, when did that nevela status come about? On Shabbos. So since coming into Shabbos was a Baal Chai, even Reb Shimon agrees, it acquires a mukta status for Shabbos. Now, Honich Lema Bara Meimar, that works according to him, Mishmed Rabba quoted Rava, that indeed Reb Shimon agrees that a Baal Chai is considered mukta. The Omer Moide Hoy Reb Shimon Baal Chai Shemesu Shasur. The Reb Shimon agrees if it's a Baal Chai that died on Shabbos, it's considered mukta. Shabbos, then our pshat works out well. The Reb Shimon agrees with our Mishnah because it's a Baal Chai Shemes. Elo Lamar Brei Rav Yosef, according to him, who quoted Rava differently, Mishmei the Rava, he had a different version of Rava. There's no difference between a Baal Chai and any other object. If you can use it, it's not mukta. The Amar, he said, "Cholok hayer Rabbi Shimon afilu balachaim shemeis shematarim." According to Rabbi Shimon, even a balachai that died on Shabbos is mukta. If it provides use, provides function, it's mukta. Now we're stuck, Michael and Meimar. So why does our Mishnah say a behema shemeis on Shabbos is mukta? Tirguma Ziri, says Ziri, interpreted our Mishnah to be speaking about a unique case, behemas kachim. He thought we're speaking about an ordinary animal which can be fed to a dog. No, we're speaking about a curb that died. That can't be fed to a dog. That's mukts. Even Reb Shimon agrees. It's useless. They cannot be. The wording in the Mishnah indicates as such. Diktani aleh avala chalash anitmes. Reb Tavim was presented with two shilas. The fact that the Mishnah bundles them together is indicative of their comparison, that they're both similar cases. So one shaila was regarding a dead animal, and also chala shenitmes. We make that connection. Ma chala de kedusha, just as chala is something which has kedusha, afehem de kedusha. Likewise, the animal that died is something which was kedusha carbon. Therefore, even Reb Shimon agrees, a carbon died on Shabbos is useless and is mukts. So the Mishnah could follow Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon. One second, now we have a kasha. Elotama de kedusha. Apparently, the mukta status is only applicable because it was a karm. That was your diuk. It's only because it's a karm that died that you have a problem of mukta according to Rabbi Shimon. Ha de chulin sharia? What does this imply? Where would have been a karm behemoth chulin, a non-kaddish animal, died on Shabbos, since you could feed it to a dog, it would be mutter according to Rabbi Shimon, right? That's the diuk. The mukta is only because it's a karm, it's similar to challah, but otherwise it would be mutter. Now we have a kasha going the other way. According to that sheet that works. Mishmei de Rava, who quoted Rava that said that according to Rabbi Shimon, even by a bal chai shemes, it's mutter, it's not kachim. The Amar chaluk hayi Rabbi Shimon af a bal chaim shemesu shemutarin. So it works well according to that sheet. Even a bal chai that died, if you can serve it to the dog, it's mutter. That's because bal chai doesn't mean it has extra muksa status. No. It's like any other object. If it's useful, it's mutter. Sharper than then the Mishnah works out. Again, what is the Mishnah saying? Abemisha mesa. And we learned it means abemis kachem dafka. Since it has no purpose, has no use, it's muksa. But if it would not be kaddish, it wouldn't be muksa. Yeah, because even a bachai that died is not muksa. So that works. What about the other version of Rabbi? The Omar who said, that even according to Rabbi Shimon, a balachai is out of balance, he's off limits, he's set aside, he's mukts. So if he dies on Yom Tov, since it wasn't in this state coming into Yom Tov, rather it was alive coming into Yom Tov, it's off limits, it's unprepared, and it's asur, it's mukts. Michael Amemar. Then we're stuck. How are we going to understand the Mishnah, which says that only because it's a carbon, we have mukts. Otherwise, it would be aser. What do you mean? According to Rabbi Shimon, a bachai dies on Shabbos and Yom Tov is not mukts. Answers the Gemara. Hachav my skin. You know what we're speaking about here? You know what the Mishnah means? That the animal would not be mukta. If not for the fact that it's a carbon, why not? According to this version of Baal Chai that dies is also a contribution. What happened was that coming into Yom Tov, the animal was in danger of dying. He was in a precarious state of health, and its owner was keeping an eye on the animal and sort of expected this to happen. He was anticipating this development. But in that case, all agree it's not mukta. Why is it about Chai Shemes Mukta, according to this Shita? Because coming into Shabbos, he was about Chai, he was a creature, he was a living creature. He wasn't something that you can partake from. But if he's Mesukenes, if she's hovering, and its owner is keeping an eye on it and anticipating this development, so he had his mind on it. And he prepared it in his mind for this purpose. That if it dies on Shabbos, he'll use it to feed the klavim. So that's why we say it's not mukts. And that's why the Mishnah says the problem is only because it's a karm. In which case, even if he had his mind on it, it doesn't help. He can't use the karm for dog feed. But if it was a chulin, it would be mutter in this case because he had his mind on it. He was mazmin. It's different than a typical baal chai. Or perhaps when it comes to a healthy animal, which was Mesa on Shabbos. Since coming to Shabbos, he was a bona fide, healthy Baal Chai. He's off limits. And we mukts even according to Rabbi Shimon. Okay, so let's just summarize this piece of the Gemara. We discussed a behemah shemes on Shabbos or Yom Tov. And let's follow Rabbi Shimon Shita for the time being. Rabbi Shimon holds that anything useful is not considered mukts. We have the Mishnah by us in Maseches Beitzah, which seems to say that a behemoth kachem shemesa is mukta. We have a Mishnah in Shabbos, which speaks about any animal that died, behemoth chulin, and according to Rabbi Shimon, it's not mukta. So let's figure out the circumstance, the context of both Mishnahs. According to the Shita, it holds that a baal chai shemes on Shabbos and Yom Tov is mutter, according to Rabbi Shimon. It's no different than any other object which has function, can provide benefit. and therefore it's considered mutter, even though it wasn't prepared for this particular function. So according to that approach, the Mishnah Beitzah by Yos, which says that it's muktzah, is because it's a carbon, has no use. The Mishnah Shabbos, which says that it's not muktzah, speaking by a chulin, since it can be fed to the kelev, it's not muktzah. According to the other approach, which held that it, even according to Rabbi Shimon, a Baal Chai Shomeis is asur, it has a higher degree of muktzah, we have to learn that both Mishnahs are speaking by a mesukenis, an animal which was in a precarious state of health coming into Shabbos or Yontif. So his owner sort of prepared that in advance. He mentally designated it for Shabbos or Yontif use, if it should be mace on Shabbos or Yontif. And that's why our Mishnah only speaks about kachim. And that's why it's a problem. Kachim has no function. You can't feed it to a dog, and therefore it's muktzah. As opposed to Mishnah Shabbos, which speaks about chulin. In that case, as long as it has function now, number one. Number two, its owner had this in mind, anticipated this development. It was mesukenes. It was no muktzah, according to Shita description. Continues the Mishnah. One shouldn't reserve a portion of an animal on Yom Tov by approaching the butcher and say, look, I'd like to partner you with this animal. I'd like to take $100 of this animal. You can't do that. You can't speak price on Yom Tov. Aval nimnun aleh be'erev Yom Tov. But you can join an animal before Yom Tov. V'sheichten u'mchalken b'neim. Come Yom Tov, they do the shechita and divide it. My ein nimnun, what did the Mishnah mean? You can't reserve a portion of an animal on Yom Tov. Amar v'dam ha'shmuel. You can't speak price. You can't speak value. I'd like $100 of this animal. You can't do that. You know, I meant to conduct business on Yom Tov. What then can he do? So what should he do? Do it without discussing price or value. Amarav, maybe shtei behemis. He'll bring two similar animals, similar in quality. Umamid and Zuzu line them up next to each other. V'aymer zukazu, and the butcher says, look, you see this animal? It's like this animal. Okay? Registered? Fine. I'm going to go shech this one. And I'm going to prorate it, meaning tomorrow I'm going to evaluate the other animal and charge you based on what you took from the first animal, according to the value of the second animal. That's how we'll figure out how much you owe me. Tanya mihachi, we learn likewise in the price. Lo yomar mechaveru, a person shouldn't approach his friend on Yom Tov and say, harein imach besela. You know, I'm joining you with a sella's worth of whatever you're selling there. Harein imach b'shtayim, I'm going to have two sella's worth of your animal. You know, I'll speak money or price on Yom Tov. Aval emeli, but rather he can tell him, harein imcha, I'm joining you lemechze, for a half. Ula shlish, a third, l'rvia, or a quarter. Says Rashi, four lines from the bottom. Must this ein nimnen. So you can't join, you can't partner in an animal. To what extent? As we learned, dafka if it's money or price being discussed. Aval sheichadu atabach, pisuk damim. Rather, butcher can just do shechita without discussing price. Umuchalken oisah b'neim, and they can distribute it, they can divide it. Ulamachar yifsek lahem dameo, and the next day he'll give them the price. And the Gemara explains how to do this. You line up an animal next to it, and you pretty much compare the quality, and tomorrow he's going to base his prices on the value of the next animal. Ein poiskin domim, the mekech hamemker b'shabbos, he can't conduct business on Shabbos, b'sefer Ezra. Hechi avet, so what should he do? The Mishnah says he can do something, how do you do it? The ketanei sheikha to mechal kemine, he does a shechita, they divide it. Hechi avet, how's he going to do it without losing money? How do you know how valuable this animal was? Unless they discuss price, how can they determine value? Maybe Lembi Yamtav Shtei Behemoth, Shabbos, he brings two equally valued animals on Yamtav, V'Yomer, he'll say like this. Ru Shizukazu, do you agree that this is like that one? Fine. Okay, let's proceed. Ulumacha Shamanas and Aseres, next day, the price and value is based on the other animal, which reflects the value of the first animal. The Braisa says, I'm going to join this animal. You can't mention domim. You can mention parts, halves, thirds, and quarters. Okay, let's review today's daf. We went back to Re'iyas Becher, Becher examination on Yom Tov. Is it mutter like any other psak, or is it also because it's the more extensive type of heter being generated on Yom Tov? We have Machlekes Tanoim, we have Machlekes Amoraim as to how to paskin. The Gemara speaks about some Amoraim who check Erev Yom Tov and then investigate further on Yom Tov to ascertain that it was a innocently occurring mum. We discussed the Behema Shemesa and Chala Shenitmes, which are Muktzah on Yom Tov. The Gemara's conclusion was that we're speaking about Behemas Kachim, and therefore even according to Reb Shimon, it would be awesome because it's totally useless. We had one side in the Gemara that according to Reb Shimon, Abal Chai carries a more severe form of Muktzah. So even if it wouldn't be Kachim, it would be a problem. But in this case, it's only also because it's Kachim, because we're speaking that he anticipated this development. It was already Mesukenes. So it wouldn't be Muktzah, other than the fact that it's Kachim. So in any case, our Mishnah can certainly be followed Reb Shimon as well. These things are Muktzah. What's wrong with Chalash and Itmas? We had Rashi's Chiddush. Getting rid of it is considered a Malacha, which is also on Yom Tov. Dividing a Behem on Yom Tov is Mutter, provided you're speaking about parts and not price. Much Hatzlacha to you and Kol Tov.